想要脱单提升魅力，
又备；
想要展现霸气男友力，
又备；
想要成为全场最霸气的交换礼物，
又备。
五倍系列圣诞专属组合，只要2099起，全馆满15000，输入专属折扣码 I believe 1500，再送热感润滑液。
12月31号前，凭发票立即抽 iPhone 15 Pro、Tesla Model Y 超大奖！快到资讯栏点击百灵果专属连结。
听说新品五倍鱼油是用五星鱼油，还添加了五倍对策专利成分跟玛卡，要不要去看看啊？
用五倍。
No, we're really nervous. You guys are like Hollywood level.
Yeah.And also, I've been watching your movie since I was little, so...
Thank you to remind me how old I am.
No, but seriously, see, I even got a copy of DVD I brought with me.
What is that? Fifth Element?
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Oh, really? It's a great movie. You should watch it. The director had the same name. Welcome to the KK Show. This is Ken.
This is Kylie.
We have awesome guests with us today. Oh my God, I'm stuttering. We have Luc Besson and Caleb Landry with us. Woo! Caleb Landry Jones. Sorry. I skipped your last name. I'm so
calm
sorry.
Calm down.
Welcome to the KK Show.
Okay, so Luc and Caleb, you guys just landed in Taipei, right? Mm-hmm. You guys just flew in from Beijing. So what was the first thing that you guys did after you guys landed? Come straight to the show? No way, right?
Take a shower.
So you guys check into the hotel, put down everything and came straight here.
Yeah, we couldn't wait.
Aww.
That's awesome. Do you really know who we are before we came here?
No, they told us. Are you kidding? From Paris, we know. We have a little like a show. And I see your picture of you like this.
Yeah, that sounds like us. So are you guys going to any other city? Is it like a world promo trip for Dogman?
As we can, because he's working and I'm working too. But we did already a couple of countries. Mm. Probably Korea in January and Spain also.
Also, oh, wow.
US in March.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's not actually premiering at the same time around the world. It's different.
No. We follow the movie. It's not the Disney or Warner Brother where you have the world tour. And No. We follow the baby. You know, country by country, it's a movie, it's a very fragile movie.
Yeah.
That we care. Mm. It's not a popcorn film.
Because this movie, I watched the trailer in the beginning, I thought it was a superhero movie, right? But as I watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is actually, like you say, a very fragile movie. And Caleb did such a great job. Like during some scenes, I cry a little bit. I was like, oh my God.
Just a little bit? I cry like crazy.
No, I was trying to, you know, be strong in front of Kylie.
I know, because I never really
That's the
cried,
great thing so. About the cinema. It's so dark. You have the freedom to, if you sit in the front or the back, to bawl your eyes out. You know?
That's true. Yeah, we were watching in the office. It was all light and bright.
Yeah, it was very bright.
We were like taking notes.
Yeah, we were taking notes. We're like, oh, this is what happened. And as I say, this in the trailer, it did look like a superhero movie. So look, when you also wrote the script yourself, right?
Yeah.
So when you write this movie, did you imagine it as your version of a superhero film, a different take?
It depends on the definition of a superhero. I never believed a superhero is a pink tide, you know, floating in the air around New York. It's for me, it's ridiculous a little bit. So that's not a superhero. A superhero is someone like you or me who do something extraordinary to save people, to help people. That's a superhero.
Yeah, an ordinary person doing extraordinary things.
Exactly. So in this sense, Douglas Dogman is a real superhero because we think he can't do anything, but he's helping a lot of people.
Yeah. But how did you come up with the idea in the beginning, though, to write the script?
I just wrote an article in the newspaper about this father who threw his kid, age of 4, throw him in a cage for 4 years. Oh. And not only one story, many stories around the world. And I was in shock to hear that. So that's not the movie, but it's just the base. Because the real movie is like, what happened to this kid?
Yeah.
When he's 10 years old, 15, 20, 25 years old, what he became? Does he become a monster? A villain? Who wants to venge? Or wants to... everyone to suffer because he suffer?
Yeah.
Or does he learn about suffering and then suddenly he wants to be good and he wants to help the other.
Mm.
And it's the choice that everyone have.
Mm.
Everyone suffer, everyone knows suffering, but what are you doing with it? Are you became somebody better or somebody worse? Mm. And it's a message of hope for people. Say, you know, if you suffer, we understand, but, you know, try to keep it, you know, try to be better.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that you picked the superpower of having a lot of dogs, being able to communicate with the dogs, and Caleb was playing the main character of Dogman. So I feel like we didn't really convey clearly how you used the superpower to communicate with the dog. Did you imagine how you talk to the dog? Because dogs were like well-behaved and know what you want, do whatever you want them to do.
Do you think you control them telepathically?
That's in the movie, you know. That's after it's been cut, put together. And very meticulously.
Because the dogs were like doing everything
that you wanted them to do.
Like attack the enemy and then...
Not agree with you.
Not agree with us?
No. They're just smart and they're very sensitive. They have a better connection with nature. So, you know, like her earthquake, for example, animals feel the earthquake a few minutes before us.
Oh.
They know. So the connection you have because they feel Douglas.
Oh.
And when Douglas is in danger, when the guy from the insurance come, they feel the menace of the guy. So he's not saying anything. He just give a signal and they know what to do.
So it's more like the dog sense the environment.
And he sense also the
also
dogs.
The, yeah. then you sense what they're feeling.
Yeah. Sensitive.
Just sensitive.
Yeah, it's just sensitive.
Oh,
so the dogs make their own decisions. So whatever the dogs do, it's
so it's not Douglas's fault.
You are not held responsible.
You're not really responsible for the dogs.
You're not coercing them to do anything.
Yeah.
Like stealing stuff from rich family.
But so Caleb, I'm just curious, what did you do to get into this character? This character is very interesting. He sits in the wheelchair. But he also does a lot of theater, but also plays a drag queen. What did you do to prepare yourself to get into this character?
Well, I wouldn't say he plays a drag queen. I'd say it's a extension from what we see in the beginning of the film, which is this idea that Selma, one of the characters, teaches Douglas that through the power of acting, through Shakespeare, he can be anything, that he cannot be confounded to the reality that he's in, which is very limiting. Mm. And I think for myself, there's a lot of that as well. Acting allows you to feel things that you might not allow yourself to feel in real time because you're afraid of these feelings or this vulnerability or this anger or this fear. So when it comes to getting the job at the cabaret, it's for Douglas the same thing as it was as a child. He's getting a chance again to become something else and to forget himself. And for Douglas, this is freedom. This is life. This is the ability to get to breathe in a kind of way. And it's also an ability to take something which no one else knows about and bring something to the public, to the people. So for Douglas, it's the one day a week where he gets to live and then forget his own problems. But as far as preparing for the role, Luke and I spent months beforehand going over the script, discussing, getting to know each other better, discussing our pasts, our likes, dislikes, music, all anything, everything. And Douglas and... It's very rare that the director is with you in this kind of way, almost holding your hand step by step and leading you through where you're going to go. But then also he has this ability to give the actor room too, for the actor to get to find it for themselves, which is, I think, very, very important because it leads to a stronger performance when you discover these things for yourself in your own way. He gave me so many things to take. To me, which ones I gravitated towards, which what I could use, what I couldn't use, very much like when you see the film, and the film has many things to say, and you take what you will from the film, independently from everyone else, and for you, it belongs to you, you know, in this kind of way. And he gave this to me in that kind of way too, play this role.
So it sounds like Luke is having a really good temper on set. So, so you never yell at people. And like, because we heard that in other interview, you're claiming that you're a good communicator. So is it true?
On set?
On set?
No, extremely. He's a problem solver. And every day there are problems, especially with 124 dogs.
That many dogs?
Yeah, what? No CGI.
It's all real dogs.
All real animals, yeah.
Wow.
So there were problems every day, much less the actor forgetting a line or, you know.
So dogs were more
than professional than actors in general?
No, just like maybe the dogs was probably causing more trouble during the shoot or...
I
can't imagine shooting with like 120 something dogs.
Yeah, they have like different mood. They're hungry.
And how many takes do you have to get?
I know, it's a giant mess every day. All
like
day
they're
long.
They're pooping and everywhere.
Everything.
It's like everybody quiet on set.
Yeah, but you have to organize that. Like, for example, there's a scene where he's reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And all the dogs are very calm.
Yeah.
So you send the dog to the park for 2 hours. And they like, and then when you come back, you give a double portion of food.
Oh, I see.
Make them have a coma.
So they're like, ugh. And then now they calm, and then you can shoot. So you just have to, you know, figure out, you know, how to.
Wow.
It sounds harder than shooting with babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we interview a director. She was shooting with a lot of babies.
And how many babies?
120.
No. Just like, I think just like two babies. I think
they have some spare babies.
You have to have spare babies just to change because baby can work overtime, right?
In case one falls.
Just in case you drop one. Why don't drop the babies?
That's why twins come in very handy.
Oh, shit. So are you a dog person, Caleb?
I wouldn't call myself any animal person. I love animals, you know. My first animal that I ever met was a cat that followed me home. And the second animal I ever met was a dog. You know,
so did you adopt those animals?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you are a pet person.
I mean, I think Teapot, my cat, had other homes as well. But, you know, she would always come eat at the house. But I think she ate a few other places.
Oh, I see. Let's go back to the film. Look, I want to ask you that in the movie, there are so many symbols of Christianity and religion. Like, are you a religious person? And why do you think that you want to put so many religious symbols in this film?
Not so many signs. And by the way, Christianism and religious signs are two different things, in fact. No, it's just like this kid in the movie gets so much pain. Mm. That when I was writing the script, it sounds logical that at a certain point, you're 10 years old, you're suffering, you don't understand why you're suffering so much. Mm. So you're going to look up and you're going to ask, hello, why? Can someone can answer me?
Yeah, because so many questions.
Exactly. So it's the beginning of any religion. When you can't find an answer, you're asking to someone who maybe knows the answer. So I think the reflex of this kid is hello, can someone hear me? And
dogs heard him, right? I think so.
Dogs in some heard him, ways. And then he read, you know.
A dog backwards, God.
You know, man of of God, and then suddenly backwards. So he say, oh, maybe it's a sign, you know. And so I learned that when I did Joan of Arc, because at a certain moment in her conscience say, you didn't see what was, you see what you wanted to see. And that's the sign. You know, we see the signs and we say, oh, okay, I'm sure it's this. And he guides his life. But at the end, he need an answer. And what's interesting with religion is no one answering, in fact, ever. But the answer is inside you. So it's the movement. So it's not so much about Christianity. It's just what are our relation with the unknown. Oh. You know, when we don't know, what are we doing? When we don't know, no one can answer. So you ask to someone, you know. So some people call it this god, other dogs, other gods.
You know, so, oh my god!
So any gods for me, it's any religion. If this religion make you better, then I think it's good. What I don't like so much is when the religion push you to do things who are not good.
When they take things to the extreme, maybe.
Yeah, for example, when the Christian couple of centuries ago killed everyone who doesn't think the same way than them. That's not good.
Yeah, so you filmed this, you shot this film in America and in France as well, right? So is there any like culture difference because you shot films in so many different countries?
No. In fact, the location, when you're on stage, you could be anywhere. You could be in Taipei and Paris, so it doesn't change anything, honestly.
I mean, the set culture, like do the staff, the people that you're working with, like, are there like different culture differences?
Like, do you need
differences?
To adjust?
No, they
adjust to you.
Yeah, you know, because you're Luc Besson, so
you can do whatever you want. No. It's, I think the artist, there is a base of artist, no matter where you are.
Oh.
You know, no one asks you your passport when you're on a set. If you're working as a set designer and you're from Taipei or Germany, it doesn't change anything. Are you good? That's the question.
Oh, I see.
So the family of artists is very open. And if you don't speak the language, then we speak English and that's fine. So it's really about the artist. I remember when I did the Valerian, I have like 5 designers, was really the best. 1 French, a Brazilian, a Chinese, an American, and a second French. So, and they were not in the same. They were not in the same continent.
Oh,
my only contact for 2 years were through the Zoom because they were like one was on the beach, the other one was on the mountain.
You know? Snowboard French is snowboarding.
Oh wow! But you also did Lucy in Taipei in 2013,
like 10 years
right?
ago. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years ago. When you came to Taiwan to shoot during that time, did you also bring your own staff to shoot in Taiwan, or
you need to have some people because the other part of the film was in France, so you need people for continuity to be sure. But we work with a lot of local technicians, and they're great here in Taipei.
Oh, so your experience was pretty good at that time, I suppose.
Yeah, we shot some.
Yeah.
This summer, we came here and shoot for like almost 4 months, and all the technicians were from Taipei, and they're great.
Oh,
because our impression is that maybe it's a stereotype that Taiwan's industry of cinema is still like pretty premature.
It's no.
Still, no? Yeah, no.
Luke was telling me that.
No, it's not.
Crew was incredible.
No.
Wow.
Oh.
I mean, good to hear. We love to hear that.
Electrician, grip, technicians, camera, all these guys were like top in the world.
Oh, wow. That's so, I'm so happy to hear that because I also heard that in the other interview, you talk about you were involved in a school, cinema school in France.
Mm-hmm.
Escola de la... Sorry, I don't speak French.
Why did you even try?
Don't try.
Hey, look at him.
Yeah, he didn't try.
School of the city, maybe?
Yeah.
L'école de la cité. School of the city.
We won't repeat that, but thanks.
Well, thank you for pronouncing it for me. And I think it's so great because first of all, you say the tuition was free and it's like there are so many sound stages right next to the school. So the students
literally like, it's incredible. Europa Corp is over here and the school is just
right next.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Caleb,
yeah.
You also visited the school?
Damn.
Wow.
We're so jealous. We hope we can have something like that because it sounds like the school, it's like closely tied with the industry and
students
will be able
to
learn.
Practical
but
experiences.
I have to be honest, I've seen like 30 years ago, I went to Australia and that's what they were doing. You have like some sound stages, professional sound stages, and they put the cinema school next to it. So when the stages are free, the student can go and make some short film.
Damn.
And I thought like, oh my God, that's brilliant. So, you know, we did the same thing. So it's not my idea.
So you didn't pioneer it. You put a lot of effort because I saw on the school website, there were a lot of other big television network from Europe were also involved, like Canal.
Yeah, Canal.
Yeah. And they...
Fox.
Yeah. Also. A lot of people put their effort into building this school.
I'm sure it costs a lot of money too.
Yeah. And
it's free.
How can you have the tuition... be zero. how does that work? Like not charging any tuition to the students?
Because I think there's many schools in France who are very good.
Uh-huh.
But you need to be to a certain level, which is a bachelor plus 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And there's some kids, they don't feel good at school and they stop, you know, to study before that. They're 17, 18 and they don't feel comfortable in a circuit, in a normal circuit. So we lose this kid.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not good for movies, but they're not good for the system.
Mm-hmm.
So the school was just this little niche just to grab this kid you know, and they come every year. It was like 6,000 students, and we don't take their name; they just have a number, and we have a big, huge
concours.
I'm so sorry.
I learned French for 3 years and nothing.
Is that like a big classroom or
no?
Or
it's not the race, but it's a competition.
Oh, I see.
And you just have one number, so we don't know
who you
where
are.
You're from, what you study, and then we go from 6,000 to 600. And then from 600 to 120. And the last day, we go from 120 to 60. And then the 60, they have a 2 years of free school.
Oh, I see. So it's not like anyone
open to
can,
everyone. Like, oh, not like we can
it's
go like and get
it's
free.
It's like elite, the best of the best.
It opens to everyone.
Yeah.
In fact. But you have to be good.
You have to be good.
I just remember there's a courtyard where the kids can take a break and there's a ping pong table. I just remember after lunch or something like that, while at the over there, going over smoking a cigarette by the courtyard and just looking at all the kids going, all right, now who's gonna do what, you know? And I hope they realize how great they have it.
So Caleb, it sounds like did you have a professional acting training? Did you go to like theater school?
No, I did some theater in high school. So that's about as professional as it got.
But you were involved in so many like great movies.
I felt like school, for one thing, was very, very expensive in the States. You either have to have incredibly good grades, which I did not, or you have to have a lot of money, which I did not. So I abandoned that idea, and I found auditioning, the audition process, to be a school in its own, in a kind of way. Auditioning is where I felt like I was learning to trust myself, learning
oh wow
something, you know.
Oh, so how many auditions did you do before you first got your role in No Country for Old Men then?
Well, that was
that was a really long time. I'm so sorry. That was like 2007.
I was really lucky. That was my first audition, and that's like that's kind of a one
your first
in a million.
Audition. Yeah, got a role in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, but then I saw the movie. And I thought,
come on, what are you talking about?
I saw the movie and I thought, man, that's a perfect movie, except for that chubby kid at the end. You know, that kid ruins the, you know, and Javier Bardem's doing so good. Why did they let me, you know? But from doing that and getting that part, I got to see how small everything, how the camera picks up everything, how everything that I thought how it worked was so wrong. And I had to forget everything that I thought I knew about acting for the most part, except that there is something about letting go, and there was something I was already doing that I still do to this day, whatever that is. But yeah, so I think it's just a process. And as you audition for more jobs, you get asked to try this character, you get asked to try this character, and you take those opportunities to do the best you can do. You treat it as if you're making a movie. And if you don't get the job, hopefully you've made them go, whoa, who was that guy? He's not right for the part, but whoa, that was incredible, you know. And so that's been the acting school has been trying to get a job.
Yeah, I heard that you actually rented a wheelchair in Paris just to move around.
I bought one. You can't rent one.
Oh, you can't leave.
you can't give it back at the end.
Is it sponsored by the production company? Or
no,
I
left it in Paris, though. I didn't bring it back to the States with me.
Well, it must be pretty hard to get around Paris in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I abandoned it pretty fast. Once I tried. But when I did give it a go, a cop helped me over here. Another cop didn't help me over there. Some lady kept staring. You know, it did
French
show me some...
Was French people nice? Like in general, was that people in Paris
actually
nice?
People were a lot more helpful than I expected. Oh. And in Paris, there was quite... I think because the streets are so bad, they're so rocky that
it's
a lot
very
of folks
old,
look
like,
at you and go,
yeah, rubble
oh,
school.
Get them across, you know.
Yeah, but you talk about letting go, you know, when you are playing an actor, you know, being vulnerable. And the character that you're playing this time, Douglas, is a super, in my eyes, like as vulnerable as you goes in certain parts. How do you trust Luke to be there to catch you.
Easy.
What did he do to make you trust him? I'm so curious because it's a very vulnerable and very emotional film, and to be in that state.
But it comes down to who he is. He respects the actor. He respects the people he works with so much. I don't know how to explain it other than it's so easy to go with him, to trust him, and it's fun. I felt very much a love from him. I felt a respect from him, and I felt the same excitement and the same curiosity that, I don't know, it's just easy in this kind of way.
Yeah. Caleb said all the good things about you. Look, you never yell, you never...
Yeah. No. When things need to be corrected, they get corrected.
No, I think it's when you have conscience that the most difficult job is the one in the frame, you know, inside the frame. So I have a lot of respect for the actor because I know it's going to be painful for him to give, you know, to come from inside, from your childhood, your scars, and you have to give it. When I say action, you have to give it. And I know it's hard. And I have a lot of respect for that. And I try to tell the actor that I understand it's hard, but I'm here to catch it.
Oh.
So at least you feel a little bit more comfortable. You say, okay, all right, I'm going to give it, but he's going to catch it.
Oh,
and you just try to make him understand that it won't be lost.
Mm.
You know, whatever you give, I have 3 camera, I'm going to catch it. You know, so don't worry.
But the dogs might ruin sometimes, right? You have to redo it for the dogs.
Or help.
Luke, have you always been like this as a director, or you pick up some skills, you know, how to catch actors?
No, I think at the beginning, my first movie, I was 19. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared of the actors because the actors were actors. You know, and I was like, whoa. So it's funny to see that my first 3 movies, first movie, the camera is very far from the actor.
Because you're so
scared. You want to keep yourself.
Yeah. Far. And the second one, I came closer. The third one, I came closer. And now, I say
face.
Action, I bring the actor, I bring the actor and the camera. You know, I'm very physical. Now I'm not scared anymore.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Take a break.
Sorry, we need to take a little break.
好，百灵果做二夜在卡米蒂已经做了大概一年半了哈。那我们决定在2024年开始把时间往前调。
对，原本从9点开始的，现在变成晚上8点开始。
没错，所以大概一个多小时的时间就可以结束，那让大家可以从外县市来，然后如果
要赶高铁的话可以，
或者是想要续摊也还会有时间。那就2024年开始8点准时开演哦，请大家提早到哦。
Look, this film is about to be released in Taiwan, and like you said in the beginning, it's going to release on different schedules around the world.
December 29th?
29th, yeah. So I'm just wondering, because there will be review release in different countries ahead of time, right? So, and you will read them,
No. I
suppose. No. You don't read reviews anymore?
At all, since 30 years.
Oh, so since...
Almost the beginning, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How can you... not read them? Because at the very beginning you'll be like, oh my god,
I thought you would want to read them. No.
It's what the people think, not these critics.
No. You know, I have the pretension to make a little piece of art that I want to offer to people. And that's all I do. I offer to people. And I know exactly, I know that the film will be seen by a 15 years old girl in Taipei and an 80 years old man in Germany. And they're not the same. And I don't know what they're going to take from the film. I hope they're going to take something from the film. And by the way, 30 years from now, 30 years, someone who is not born today will see Dogman one day on TV. And what are they going to take from the film? I don't know. So, you know, the critics are not made for us. The critics are made for you, to guide you, to say, oh, I've seen this film. I think it's good. You should go or you shouldn't go. But it's not made for us. The critic is not a text message for the creator of the film. It's not to us. It's not our business. We don't care, you know?
Wow, that's a really strong mentality because sometimes we can't help but read all the comments and under YouTube because we feel like this is one way.
It's too late. The movie is done. The movie is done. The movie is done. We're already thinking about the next one. Oh, we're here because we love the film. We love the film. Dogman is an excellent film. Yeah. So it's exactly the relation you can have with God. You don't need a priest. Okay? You can be in your room and talk to God. You don't need to have a priest to tell you what to think about God.
Here, here.
You know?
I see.
What?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, just like, because when I watch this film, I get the sense that this movie is trying to carry a very strong message. Like you say, like, just, you know, people are always trying to deal with their problems and what you take of it, the good side or the dark side, right? Mm-hmm. And this movie obviously choose the bright side. Why did you do the movie that goes with the bright side? Have you thought about, you know, in the beginning when you are during the writing process, just like, this guy is going to be the evil, he's going to come out as a Joker character? Like, why in the beginning you make that choice?
No, it's exactly, is it like bright? I don't think it's the opposite.
He for me is the bright side.
Yeah.
But it's not so much messages that you try to give to people. It's more sharing, in fact. It's really like cooking. Mm. And then when you finish cooking, you want to say to your friend, say, you want to test? What would you like? And then, oh my God, that's good. Oh, good. Okay. You know, it's more this process. It's not a calculation, or we're not doing cheeseburger movies. It's not Disney. It's not Warner Brothers. It's not like the commercial big thing. It's, you know, we have the pretension to be a little piece of art, which is we want to show and we want to share when we see people who watch the film. And believe me, around the world, every screening we have done for now, we see people like have tears and they're like emotional and they say, oh my God, the character, you know, like Dogman, my God, Caleb, where is coming from? You know, that's what you want to create. You want to share. Mm. You know, this world is so, you know, organized now, and they tell you what to think, when to think, how to think. You know, let's have a little bit of freedom. Let's have just a tiny bit. Go for 2 hours, watch the film, and you won't be the same.
But do you feel like you need to sometimes consult to your friends or other directors before you start shooting when you write scripts? You pretty much write everything yourself, like all the stories.
No, after it's you're not working alone. You know, Caleb has some comments about the film and I'm listening and sometimes he's right. I say, oh yeah, okay, that's interesting. My producer, who's here today, Virginie Besson-Sillard, the coach, she's coming and she say, oh, what about that? This should be better. Oh, that's not good. This is good. And then another actor, Jojo, you know, which is excellent in the movie. She played a psychiatric.
Yeah.
She's a woman. And then she has another point of view on the thing. She said, Luke, don't you think that this line may be this way or this way? But I accept even a third assistant on the set.
Oh, wow.
Who say, excuse me, sir, are you sure about this thing? So sometimes I said, you know, shut your fuck up.
Oops.
Or, and sometime I say, wow, that's, I take it. I take your idea. You don't mind? I take it? No, I don't mind. It's a collaboration. You know, you can't make a movie by yourself. It's impossible. Yep. You arrive to the editing and the editor was not on the shooting. He doesn't know who was nice on the set or you just see the result, you know. And then the composer arrived after and he rewrite the entire dialogue with notes, you know. So, yeah, it's really a collaboration. You can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, because like not a lot of artists, well, not all the artists are willing to share and open their canvas to everybody to put their.
So they should do paintings.
I mean, like, I think it's really cool that you are opening up to everybody's suggestion and you take the good ones and try to make the.
I'm open to everything, but there is only one captain on the boat. That's it.
So Caleb read some reviews sometimes?
I have in the past, and they've gotten me into trouble. Usually they lead me to thinking I failed, or they lead me to thinking I did such a great job that, I don't know, it's usually really good or really bad, and I find both of them not very conductive to the
Is
thing.
It hard for you to like see the movie playing on the screen after?
Yeah.
But we're all gonna do it tomorrow at the premiere.
I mean, it's like when you see kind of like if you see like a home video of yourself or something from when you were a kid or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, I sound like that, or oh my gosh, you know, I look like that, or something like that. It's always like this, and it's hard to separate that sometimes it's also hard to allow yourself to just watch. But when a film really works, usually you have no choice but to be taken with it. And if you forget you're watching yourself for even a second, I'm going, something's happening. Something's
the first working. Time I show him the film, the first time I show him, I was looking at his face. He couldn't watch the screen. He was like,
oh,
he was like this.
Oh wow!
And next to him, his girlfriend was like this. It was totally
different.
Totally
different.
At some moment, he couldn't watch. He couldn't watch this guy on the screen.
Oh. It's vulnerable. You lay yourself out there, and then you're confronted with him. You know?
May I ask which part for you was the hardest one
scene?
To watch?
I don't remember what was
because you didn't watch it.
No, tomorrow Kylie will remind you.
The second time when I got to see it in Venice, I was able to separate a bit. And I think because I was on another job as well and I was freaking out about that job, I was kind of in a position where I took the film and was very moved by it and in awe once again of these 124 docks and how it just really looked seamless and was just taken back by what we'd all done.
What I remember the first time.
First time is different.
It's the first scene when the psychiatric, the woman arrived, and the first meeting, the two, when he turned and he has the, you know, the makeup everywhere like this,
and
blood,
scars,
blood everywhere. That was the big shock. Like he couldn't, he was like this.
Oh,
that was a wonderful shot.
Yeah, but
it was a shock. Because when you see it, it's like 6 months after you have done it.
Oh,
so you forgot a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you lost so much weight, right?
Lost some weight.
Yeah.
Were you forcing him to lose
weight?
Oh,
yeah,
How did you lose weight?
Just stop eating bread and dairy for a while. That really helps. And I don't exercise, so going from 0 to 100, that helps a lot too.
Just in the beginning, how did you guys meet up for this project though? Who approached whom? Or just like through a casting call?
Ran into each other at a circus and now I'm teasing.
I mean, wow, it fits the film.
I watch a little picture. You know, for a big role like this, 50% it's the first thing is physical.
Hmm.
Can I believe that this guy can be Dogman? And then physically say, yeah, he can be Dogman. And I showed a picture to my producer and she said, yes, it's him.
Oh,
wow.
She was like, right away, she feel it. She's very sensitive and she has an instinct on this.
So who gets better judgment, like instinct?
She
casting her.
So after that, I went on the internet and I realized that there's many movies that I've seen, you know, with Caleb. So the voice, the second thing is the voice. That's the voice of Dogman. He can play Dogman with this voice. So that's two. And then when you watch all the movies he have done, even if it's a small part in it, he plays so many different things that as a director, you say, okay, this guy can play everything. Perfect. Not only one thing. He can play everything. He can be funny. He can be scary. He can be everything. So three. Physical, the voice, and the fact he can play everything. The fourth one and the last one is to meet the person to be sure it's a good person. Because you cannot go for 6 months with just an actor. You need to go with a partner. So for 2-3 meetings, we were talking about life and everything. I'm not talking about the movie. And after a while, he was wondering, like, why this guy see me so much? He never talk about the movie.
call my agent. Is it a job? Is there a job?
Or he just want to make friends.
I'll call and check in. But I imagine so. But no, I don't know.
So when you first heard that Luc Besson was looking for you, what was it like?
Oh, that he wanted to meet?
Yeah.
Oh, it was... No, I was very nervous.
But did you know that it was this kind of role?
No. I just knew he wanted to sit down and I had no idea why. Oh. I could only hope that it was something he was working on. Oh, yeah. So.
We just took a tea and talked about life.
Yeah.
What was his first question? Like pickup line. Do you remember?
I just remember being nervous as hell, you know.
What was it like when you first read the script for Dogman?
I read it with my girlfriend and we were both, are you done? No. Okay. You done? Yes. Okay. you know, and we read it quite fast and we were both touched. We both found humor. We both found a lot of sympathy for this character as well. And we both just really liked it. And I remember asking her afterwards, what'd you think? She's like, that is so wild. You know, like, that's, I've never seen or, you know, read anything like that. I'm like, me either. It's so different. Mm. And then comes the first thought, but how the heck would you, how would you do that? And she's telling me, you could figure it out. And I'm going, yeah.
So your girlfriend also trusted you, just she, like she Lucas is, trusted
she,
you.
Yeah, she thinks I'm good at what I do. But then met so Luke, and my only concern was whether or not they were going to be real dogs or CGI dogs. I thought it was an incredible script, like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as an actor. And I've been wanting to work with him since I saw Fifth Element and started acting. I mean, when I saw Fifth Element, I didn't know I was going to be acting. You know? But and so when we met and he told me it was real dogs, it was, man, if you'll have me, then absolutely, you know.
So and you're excited said, to work with real dogs, oh, 124 well, dogs.
Because there's the aspect, you know, dogs don't lie when they talk about love. And there is this reality to animals, to children, that they there's no pretense, there's no facade of any kind. There's a truth all the time to who they are. Asks the same thing of you as an actor. So for me, it means there's something tangible that can happen. There's a real connection that can happen, you know. And so once he said that, yes, are you kidding me? No, real, all real. You know, and then that was,
oh wow.
Then we start, then he invites me the next week and every week go over to the house and
it's
little
like,
by
it's
little.
It's like a relationship kind of, like yeah, looking for the main character from a director.
Specifically for this role, I mean, there is no movie if you don't find the right actor to play it. It's you can't.
How long did you take to find Caleb?
Not so long. I was just searching,
oh,
you
wow.
know, looking pictures.
So love at first sight, pretty much.
Yeah, there's one or two like...
It's like a Tinder for director.
Kind of. But no, I knew that if I can't find the right actor, I won't make them for the film. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So speaking of the Fifth Element,
yeah.
You have a question, right?
I have a question. I'm so sorry. I have to ask this.
Yeah,
I'm
to not talk about dog. Yeah. You should be sorry.
I'm so, because
the
I
whole reason we came
it,
over.
I have to say it again. I'm so sorry. Because a lot of people like myself and Caleb, we all love the Fifth Element. And there are a lot of people asking if there's going to be a sequel. Is this in your pipeline of work?
why every time we love something, we want a sequel? I don't understand that.
Why?
No, why? Yeah. You know what? Watch it again.
I will. I
no, there's no. There's no sequel. Or never thought about a sequel or
I see.
The Sixth Element.
No. The Sixth Element.
No. At the time, science fiction was so serious. Mm. I am your father. It was very serious. And I wrote The Fifth Element when I was 16. Mm. And for me, sci-fi future, why it's not funny, why it's not clever, like full of colors and, you know, stupid moments and things.
And space opera. Right?
Yeah. So, and I was like young enough to be and so crazy enough to go on this adventure, you know, like we'll probably no one will dare to do today. But, yeah, that was the, you know, that was just the movement. So it's a moment.
I see.
You know.
And now you are working on something else. Or
yeah, always. It's always. After yeah. Fifth Element, I did Joan of Arc, which has nothing to do with the, the thing. But what's the point to do the same painting over and over? Yeah.
Since we talk about space opera, like I feel like movie is also a big part of in a lot of your films. Like also in Dogman, music is very important, and because also in the Cabaret Club, Douglas also sing, right? Well, not sing, but perform on stage. Mm-hmm. How do you choose the kind of music or what kind of character that Douglas was going to be on stage?
No,
you know, there are so many great singers.
Yeah, but how many of them don't move?
Yeah, because Douglas is process, a person with wheelchair, right?
The process is not like, which song we will take. In fact, it's the script. The script is he's in a wheelchair. He met a teacher, a drama teacher. Yeah. He understands that if he plays somebody else, he can forget himself for a moment. So that's what he wants. He wants to play.
Yeah.
Okay. So now they propose him a job. What kind of song he can play? So the only performer that he can play is someone who doesn't move. Edith Piaf never moves. She's always like this, a little bit, and that's it.
Way.
So he can play Edith Piaf. Can he play Charlie Chaplin? No, he cannot. And then now when you have Edith Piaf, you look at all the songs and you try to see the lyrics. What lyrics resonate with the situation of the script? So the song come at the end, in fact.
Oh, I
see. You know, you need to have a good reason to choose this song. It's not just like, oh my God, I love this song. No, it's the process is way deeper.
And then we feel like you're always like working, either like filming or like promoting or like writing scripts.
Or production.
Creating production. So is there any
time
you take a break?
I don't know anyone that works.
Is that hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't take breaks? What do you do for hobby leisure. To de-stressing?
Making movies is distressing.
What? No.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Really?
It's true. When you're in the middle of making a film, you're alive.
Yeah, you're alive. You forgot everything. You forgot the real problem of life.
Yeah.
Because everything is fake.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like really romantic to like film at the end of the life and like, you know,
no,
die
I think
on spot.
There is also maybe something like you find in sports. You know, when you do like a tennis game, for example, and then for 2 hours you don't think about anything and then you're sweating and you want to win. You know, there's this kind of like energy and making
and
a movie.
Yeah,
excitement.
The
movie is
only
the
two
same.
2 hours. Making movies like months.
No, it's 8 hours. And then
8 hour day.
No, but there's the same, you know, like at the end, in fact, you just have a movie and it's a DVD that you put in your shell. But it's a good feeling. You know, I love sometime, like my son, for example, is 17 now. And recently there's a movie that he can't see and he wants to see a film that I've done. And then we take the DVD, watch the film. And you know that it's alive all the time.
Does he want to be a director just like you do?
Yes, unfortunately.
No
doctors in the family. We have one singer, one actress, one director, one photographer. I mean, I wish we could have a cook or a doctor, but we don't.
No, but it's true. There's something about when you're making a film, you're solving a puzzle in a kind of way. And it's just, I don't know, it's the best puzzle I've found, you know, and that music has been a little bit like that, but music is more by yourself for me. But with a film, you have to work with everyone, and it all comes together because of everyone. And it's you do your part, and I don't know, if one person goes down, the other person goes down like some dominoes or something, mm-hmm. you know. And we're all looking to the same captain, you know, to lead us through the water. But this solving these problems is, I can't tell you how much fun it is, because when you get something finally that you know you're needing to get and he's satisfied and stuff, you're like, yes, we got it. All right, so that means the next bit. Oh my gosh. And then it's really exhilarating to when you find those things. And there's also a lot of doubt and stuff too, but it's
But on Dogman, for example, it's funny because I did my first movie when I was 19 and I did Dogman last year and I'm past 60 now. And I have this excitement almost like, okay, now I know a little bit about my work and about what I can do. And I really have the feeling on Dogman that I put all this knowledge of like 40 years at the service of this story. I won't be able to do Dogman 10 years ago.
Oh,
I won't. Dogman, for me, at my level, it's really the best I can do. You know, so even some people won't like it. Some people will love it. But personally, that's my best job. I know. Oh. It's really like, I remember all the mistakes for the last 20, 30, 40 years. Yeah, I was wrong here. And that you correct the thing. And I was very full of energy. And I really have the feeling to do my first film.
Oh, wow.
For the entire, yeah. It was like every minute with Caleb, we were like, connected, and every moment, every lines, every
So this is a rejuvenating process for yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's the only way to make a movie. Mm. It's to start the movie thinking, okay, that's the first one and the last one. Do your best. Like everything you learned for 40 years, put it in. Don't lie. And otherwise, I don't go.
Because I heard in an interview that you say when you first started to get into the film industry, you just like pack up your bag and went straight to Paris, right? And then you just knock on different doors and try to get in. And first you were just like a grip or the person who are making sandwiches. But you say, I just want to be the best at making sandwiches and people will remember me. And I just think it's so cool that after 40 years, you're still carrying the same mentality that everything, just do it to the best that you possibly can.
But also
and put it out to the world.
Also, it's this so often with any job, there'll be something that needs doing and someone else will walk by it and not do anything about it. And you tell the person, someone, hey, why isn't that, shouldn't that be like this? Or da-da-da, doesn't that need to be fixed or something? Eh, it's not my problem. It's not my job. And they go over. And Luke is someone that he will go and fix the thing even if it's not his job. But it's this mentality, I think, that, no.
You know, I know some very old technicians. If you talk to them about me, and they say, oh, Luke, he was doing the best sandwiches.
They still remember.
And you know what? It makes me very proud.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, so we want to hear a little bit about your next project. Like your company is shooting another film in Taiwan, right?
Oh, really?
Is there something? No.
Oh my God.
According to the news,
that's the news. Oh my God.
Yeah. So is there any like stuff that you can share right now about your next project?
No. No. No, it's you're in the kitchen cooking. Stay in the room, wait for the, enjoy the music, you know, smell, smell good. And, but, you know, when it's ready, we come and we show the thing. It's always hard to talk when you're doing things. It's way easier to talk when the things are done. You're like, Dogman is done and we are like, not promoting, in fact, we're following the movie because we love the movie deeply, that's all.
Yeah, well, I love the movie and I think this is just a very different kind of film that people haven't seen in a really, really long time. I kept going back to the word superhero, but I know that you probably...
No, you're right. Yeah. It's a real superhero.
It's a real, it's a very vulnerable superhero film. It's that something that people haven't probably seen in a really long time. And I'm very happy that we get the chance to... see you and talk to you guys about
thank
this
you so
movie.
Much
thank you so much
yeah
I hope you guys enjoy it
I hope
stay in Taipei.
You guys are a lot of fun.
No, thank you guys so much for coming to our
what
pocket.
We said before the podcast was a lot of fun. All the secrets was fun.
Well, thank you very much, Luke, and thank you very much, Caleb,
thank
for
you.
Coming to our podcast.
Thank you so much. I'll see
thank
you guys
you.
Tomorrow too.
Thank you.
With
the pleasure.
Yeah, with the premiere.
The premiere.
Great. I'm not gonna do it.